That is the biggest problem in the first century church. It's the biggest problem today. It will always be the biggest problem, is that people want to help God do their part. God does not want your help. The problem with your help is it's never perfect. It's always got your signature on it because it's yours. But he wants to do the perfect work. And that perfect work is for him to do it all, everything, so that you do not lift a finger. You do not have to understand it. You don't have to want it. You don't have to do anything. It's all been done on your behalf, all been done for you. Why? Because our God is a loving Father. The world, even the church, doesn't know him as a loving Father. They know those are words, but they actually believe there's something we must do. And so men are still trying to please God. You can't please a God that already loves you. You can't please a God who's already satisfied. Why? That's why he sent Jesus, to let you know that you don't have to do anything. You're not under any law. There is no law against you. None. Now, if there's no law, there's no sin. If there's no law, there's no sin. If there's no law, then there's no sin. So there was a law. Jesus obeyed that law. Jesus obeyed it not for himself. He obeyed it for you. Now you are completely beloved of God. And to prove it, to prove that, he gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the proof or the sign or the seal of the fact that you are a believer. You don't have to take it. It's an offer, but you don't have to take it because there's no law. It's just up to you. If you believe that happiness comes from following your own will, your own mind, your own emotions, your own passions, your own desires, if you believe that you know how to run your life, then you can do that. But God doesn't want you to follow your passions and desires. He wants you to follow his word, trust him, that he's done it all. There's nothing to be done. There is nothing more that you can do. You can't add to it. You can't subtract from it. What he did was for eternity because it was perfect. And it was done for you. Now it's being done in you. And it will also be evidenced through him working through you. That's when other people know what you know. And so as you submit to God, because you believe in him, as you submit to his not just Savior, but his Lordship, then you are truly his bride. That's the bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, because you believe that you can't do it, didn't do it, will never do it, but that he does it for you, in you, and through you. To God be the glory. To God be all the glory. So most churches believe that there is something you can do. You'll be, you know, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to do it and so on. You don't just need help. Not that kind of help. You need to know that it's been done. And that if anything will be done, it's still him. And if anything is going to be perfect, it's always got to be him. So I don't know if this is good news to you or not. That's what this book is all about. I want to read the fifth chapter, verse 1, and then I want to skip to 13 and finish off. So let's begin at verse 1. For freedom, brothers, for freedom, Christ has set you free. How many know that if Christ set you free, he's the truth that set you free? If Christ sets you free, you didn't set yourself free. A slave does not run away and get freedom. The freedom has to be granted to him because he's a slave. So if you're a slave, you're a slave. Apart from Christ, you're a slave of sin. You're a slave. You will sin, whether you behave or not behave, you're a sinner. And you're not acceptable. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's no way you can produce anything that God would accept because he's perfect. And the law says this: I want you to be perfect as I am. My standard, my perfect standard is yours. If you want to get into heaven through your good works, then you have to be exactly like me. How many know that's a little bit difficult for most of us? is to be like God, he probably thinks 24/7. Be like God. Have you ever had a nightmare? Or, you know, maybe you sinned while you were sleeping. You just never know. And then there are secret sins you don't even know about. In other words, everything the natural man does is sin. Now, I want to say it again, because if you get this down, everything else makes sense. If you don't, it doesn't. If everything you do is sin, then apart from faith, it's sin. Apart from faith. Now, your faith then is in the promise that Jesus Christ did everything, not for himself, for you. So that's the unconditional love of God. Now, the nine signs that you're a believer who Jesus did all the work for and in and through is you will have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Nine gifts. If you can say those nine, you go to heaven. You might skip a few, so don't skip a few. I'll say them one more time and see if anyone gets them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, or self-control. So those nine, who has it? Okay, well, you're all perishing. You're all going to perish. But it wasn't that I didn't try it. I gave two times. I gave two opportunities. Now, saying it doesn't help. How many know believing that Jesus Christ was all those things and does all those things for you and in you and through you, you don't even have to know what they are. You just have to know that it's good. Amen. Because anyone who relies on you is foolish. And if you rely upon yourself, you're not going to make it. But if he does it all, it's perfect. How do you know? That is the sign that Jesus Christ, who has no sin, he always does what's pleasing to the Father, he came down to die in your place, to substitute for you, because he knew you had never done one thing worthy of heaven. And if you just break the law in one part, you broke the whole law. You're called a lawbreaker. And Satan is the lawless one. So everything we do apart from Christ is nothing. It doesn't count. Won't count. Now, did you all get that? So how many have tried? At least you weren't perfect, but you tried. How many at least tried? That's better than not trying, is it not? No, it's not. Because it has to be perfect. And it has to be 24/7. It has to be every minute of every second, not only from the day you're born, but prior to that, those 9 months, you might have sinned in the womb. You might have sinned even in the womb. In other words, if you think that God is an angry judge who wants you to behave, and that's the only way you're going to heaven, you're completely mistaken. There's no point in having a God then. He'd be a devil because he would birth you only to then send you to hell. No, no. God's desire is not for any sinner to pay for or to get free from his sin. So anything that comes out, give God the glory. If anything comes out of you that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, and self-control, if anything comes out of those nine things, it's a gift. Completely a gift. And an undeserved gift. It's kind of like if I would give my brother here, David, a letter, and it would say, David Halverson, and then it'd have a comma, sinner. And then it has your address down. So I give you that. And you open it up, and it says, Dear David, saint. Did you see what happened? You got the letter. On the outside, it's addressed to a sinner. It's an offer. And if you open it, just take delivery, open it up, read it. It says, David Halverson, saint. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Now, how did that happen? It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's like, wow, I wasn't expecting this. I told you last Saturday, I got the IRS to, you know, write me a little letter. And I didn't even know you got mail on Saturday. So I was kind of surprised. Oh, it's from the IRS. I bet it's a bill. Because of 12/31/14. New Year's Eve. I owed $4,095. And I hadn't really done anything wrong, as God knows.
God is my witness.
And as I know. But, you know, the IRS really doesn't care about what God knows and I know. They only care that they didn't receive my notice or whatever you're supposed to say, you know, I need an extension or something. I just assumed I had it because I did mail it, in fact, for certain, not only on time, early. And yet they said they never got it. And it's not against the law. It's not against the law to send it. You can do that and send it early. And I did. But so then I went ahead and didn't do anything until 6 months later. But they say that even if it's one day into the month, you have to pay the penalty for the whole month. And if it's even one day into the notice that you finally get, you have to pay for the whole month. So they dated it December 1, the first day of December. So that's the first time I ever heard of it, that I owed something. But I never owe anything, so I should have gotten nothing. But here's $4,095. So they said, you owe this. Well, I counted up the months then. It wasn't just the 6 months, but they had added to it the 7th month because it was one day. But I got it the day after Thanksgiving. I got it the day after Thanksgiving. That showed they cheated, but they charged me anyway. So shouldn't I win then? Shouldn't I win? Isn't my word good? No, they don't negotiate. And besides, they need money because they have about $2 billion they can't account for. So it'd be good if before they did get audited, that they checked up. So they needed my money. But I decided, you know what? I am guilty. The reason I'm guilty is because I didn't seek God. There's my guilt right there. So I said, God, here I am, seeking you. a little late, just like they say I'm late. I'm a little late with you. However, you could have mercy on me. You remember your whole idea of mercy? Well, mercy me. And here I am. And do I have a leg to stand on? Not one leg to stand on. Because I have done wrong things so often in my life, I don't deserve anything. But because you made a promise, I'm going to stand on your promise, and I'm going to ask you, just like in the Old Testament, deliver me from my enemy who wants to take all this money that I don't really owe. I never have to pay anything, but this time I'm going to have to pay $4,000, and I'd just as soon have it in my hands than theirs. Because I feel I'll do better things with it than they will, at least in my case. However, Lord, I do admit I should have checked everything. I should have checked to see that they received it. Therefore, I'm guilty. But could you show mercy and favor, mercy to forgive me and favor to make them say, oh, he's a pastor. He's a wonderful person. I think we'll forgive him. How many know that that's a prayer that God likes? Because I'm totally without one plea. I don't have anything going for me. And I know you can't win. How many know you cannot win against them because they're the final deciders? And if they said they didn't receive it, then they didn't. And if they said I'm guilty, then I am. And they have little rules that they have, and I read them. Sure enough, they have all the power. I have none of the power. How many know against God, you have no power? But because God comes to us rather than us getting to heaven based on our good works, he started the whole idea of this mercy thing. He shouldn't have done that. He just should have left the law thing there that was written on my heart. But he started and he said, you know, I'm going to do it. So I prayed. I have the prayer written. And it was so powerful. I was really sincere. God, really, you're the only one that could make them change their mind because they don't like to change their mind. And especially when they got the goods. So could you overcome all the obstacles in your beloved disciple, pastor, good person, used to be bad, but it's changed now. I'm worthy in your sight, not in mine, but in your sight. I'm undeserving totally. But because I've confessed that and because you've made a promise. Could you keep your promise? And so when I opened it up last Saturday morning, I looked at it and it said, December 31, 2014, $4,095. That's all I could see right there. Yuck. There is no God. He doesn't like me after all. I have no influence in heaven. He's good, but not as good as I was hoping. And then I read, pay. You must pay. And it was in big capital letters. You must pay. And then I read, 0.00. Oh, that's Jesus. Yes, I believe. I'm a total believer. How many know that's a conversion right there? That's a conversion. So what I'm trying to say is God is good. Amen. I'm just trying to say you can call on God anytime, whether you ever have before or not. You're always welcome. Did you know that God desires not the death, the hurt, the harm, the injury of any sinner, let alone a saint like me? Did you know that? Did you know that you're made a saint not because of anything you did or didn't do? You're made a saint just because you believe that God is good and you admit and confess that you are not. How many know that there's nobody here that's perfect? Under their own will, power, energy, nothing. You're only perfect because God does it all. And when God does it all, He wants you to take it as a free gift. The truth will set you free. Does anybody here have that truth? That truth is so powerful. That's powerful. Now, if God can treat us that way, couldn't we treat others that way? People that don't deserve our attention, our love, our you know, whatever, could we not love them in the same way? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Couldn't we have those perfect gifts, because God loves us that way, for others? Couldn't we be the in-between person? God loves me that way, then couldn't I love you that way? God has joy toward me that way. Couldn't I have joy toward you? Couldn't I then not only have it for myself, but give it to others? Because if God's met all my needs according to His riches and glory, could I not then be the medium for God to give the same to others? Wouldn't that be the church of the living God? Isn't that the sign of a Christian? Is now that we believe that Jesus died for us, that Jesus was buried for us, that Jesus rose for us, that Jesus ascended for us, that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now for us to baptize us every minute of every second of every day so that we can walk according to His Spirit instead of our flesh, so that we don't have to have fears and anxiety and worry and doubt. We could be forever free. Not only in heaven, but right down here on earth. Heaven on earth. That is God's will for us. He wrote that in the book. He didn't write it for smart people. He just wrote it for anybody. Whosoever will may come. Dear David, sinner. Open it up. Dear David, 0.00. You owe nothing.
Amen.
You're a saint. Isn't that amazing? Just because God abated or forgave everything. You owed who knows how much, certainly your life. But He then wrote down, you must pay 0. I love that. I don't know, that's exciting to me.
Amen.
It wouldn't be exciting if you didn't owe anything, but I know I did owe. I know I did owe. They said I did. And if the IRS tells you, you can't argue with them. You cannot go to court and win against them. It's very hard. And I didn't have a leg to stand on. But I just wrote this little letter and sent it and prayed. How many know it's the prayer that does it? It's not the letter. The letter has no cleverness in it. So God is a God who's awesome. And if he can triumph over the IRS, He could beat the devil. Amen. I know that. He could beat the devil. I don't want to get those mixed up, but he could beat the devil. No. I love the IRS. I love the IRS. I love them. Anybody that's good to me, I kind of like them. I like them, even if they're wrong about it. I like them. Anybody who likes me, I like. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God's on your side, who could be against you? Did you know that against such there is no law? What? Well, against those that walk in the Spirit, against those that are, you know, walking in love, joy, and peace. Against that, there's no law. There's no law against loving someone. There's no law against being joyful. There's no law on this earth that you can't please God or man. There's no law. And be happy. Serving others. Worshiping God. Did you know there's no law against it? There's no law for it. God doesn't say you have to do it. There's no law. He said you may freely eat. It's permitted. But he didn't say you have to. He didn't say if you break my law, you can't come to heaven. He never said that. What he said is if you continue to practice these things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to be happy. I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. So, this chapter starts out, for freedom, Christ hath set you free. That's it. You're free. If for freedom Christ has set you free, then you're free to do what? To sin? No. Why doesn't God want you to sin since there's no law? He didn't set you free so you could sin. He set you free so you could bear fruit for others. He capacitated me. Did you know I was made in the image of God? In the Hebrew, be-tzelemnu. Be means in, and then tzelem means image, and nu means our, in our image. You were created in our image. God speaking to the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Let's create men in our image. Let's not create a turtle in our image. Let's not create grass in our image. Let's not create a cloud in our image. Let's create man unique among all the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom. Let's make something that is so unique, it'll be just like, in other words, David, did you know that when you get to heaven and you look at God, he won't look like a gorilla? Yes. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Or a spoon. Yes. He won't. Great spoon. You know, he won't look like that. Do you know that you will look just like God? You'll look at him, you'll think, God, he looks just like me. I mean, really? Is that not amazing? Because we look like him. When a child is born, they look like the parent. That's amazing. So that's Betzalemnu. But then he says, Ke Demutnu. According to the likeness ours. Okay? So, Be Demutnu. The new is our. So, Betzalemnu. You are made according to our likeness. You look just like us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I even created you individually to have three parts, spirit, soul, body. Everything is like us. You're free. I'm free. You're free. I want to be holy. You can be holy. I want to be merciful. You can be merciful. Anything God is like. So he wants you to not just look like, but act like him. Now, what does he want for you to worship God and serve and love your neighbor as though you were a slave who just is doing whatever God, for your God's slave, saying, Jim, this will be your freedom. I want to give all this love to you, and then you give it to somebody else, and I'll give you some more. I'll just keep it coming. So as you receive it and you enjoy it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor in the same way that I loved you. So when we do that, and for men, you guys need to love your wives or your parents, whatever, however old you are, you need to love others just indiscriminately. You don't even have to think who they are. Just love everybody that you meet. They're unworthy, it doesn't matter. They're sinful, they hate you, they despise you. Love them anyway. Amazing? That's amazing. Now, you know that your flesh can't do that. Your flesh does not like certain people. There are certain people that you know you don't like. I mean, you don't have to say anything, but you know it secretly. You know, just, what is she doing here? She's a hypocrite. I wish she wouldn't even come. You've ruined my whole worship service. You have those thoughts. Has anyone ever had a thought like that while you're worshiping God? It's like, what's she doing here? Why did he come? I've never liked him. I don't even feel like worshiping right now. And there are people, but you know what? That's your flesh. But your spirit is going, hey, thank God that person is here. I want to give that person a scripture or go up and hug them or something and love that person and tell them how much God loves them. That's Christianity. That's a new creation. That is not the natural flesh creation. That's not the fallen creation that God made. That's a new creation where you are made, now remade in the image and likeness. Because we lost that in the fall. We lost that. We no longer were acting like God. We were acting unlike God. And yet it's still written on your heart, be like God. Now, how many know that God wants to give you not only the free gift, but he doesn't want you to do anything but enjoy it? He doesn't want you to sweat or worry or be condemned or judgmental or anything. Just enjoy this world. Isn't that amazing? Could you actually be happy from this day forward? I mean, really, in this world, like it is. Like it really is, not like it even appears. But this world is mean. How many have experienced a few mean things? Yeah, there are mean things. And yet, in this world, God will protect you. He has to, because he said he'd never leave you or forsake you. He said, wherever I am, you will be also. So he has to keep that. He has to actually give me heaven on earth now before heaven. He has to give me a down payment at least. Let me know that God will seal you, signature you, because you're his, even in this world. That's amazing. And you can try it out. Like, let's say this was like a hose or a downspout or something. And God gives me some love. He's the source of it. But I'm the channel of it. And I can channel it to David. And then when David's got enough, I could go and give it to some Esther. Then I could give some to Zoe. Now, how many know that is Zoe? That is life. Did you know that Jesus came? I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just seen his face. It was good. It was great. It's great. That's good. Did you get life? Life! Not sure about that. Oh, good, good. Amen. Praise God. All right. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Did you know that Jesus loves you? You can shake your head if you want. You don't have to shake your head. Did you know that God is good? Does everybody know that God is good?
Amen.
He's not just good for heaven. He's got to show up now. He can't give you something without giving you a down payment now. He's got to seal it. And then he promised also give you not only mercy for your sins. So they're still there, but he just forgave them. And then he also takes them away, the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you actually can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Oh, that is so powerful that he promised that. He swore that. Every man, every person, every person mature in Christ. Wow. That's a high order. That's a high order. You know, there are some people here that aren't that mature. You know who you are. I think everybody knows. How many of you, there are some people here that are not as mature as others? But he said, every man mature in Christ. Every man. In other words, everybody that comes to Jesus can only mature in Christ. If you come to Jesus, then his next purpose is to get you mature, not just to leave you as an acorn but to turn you into an oak tree, a mighty oak of righteousness. Amen? I always tell it to Peggy, especially when she sins. She does do that. You know, when she sins, I always tell that to her, Peggy, you're a mighty oak of righteousness. I said, well, I don't feel like one right now. I feel like hitting you for saying that. Oh, that's my beloved. How many know that we can return good for evil? Let me know that. That's one of the signs that you're the temple of the living God. You're just like God. Somebody does evil, you give them good. You don't ever give them what they deserve. You don't ever give them evil for evil. How many know that's flesh? In the flesh we do that. Oh, you did that? All right, I'm doing this. All right. It's only fair. How many know it's only fair to give people what they deserve? But God is not fair. God is not fair. God, who gave a law, should make people then do that law, or else. When somebody does wrong, do you not delight when they get it? I do. I know there's a scripture that says don't, but I do. I always secret. I mean, I'm doing it out loud. Because out loud, they go, oh, that's too bad. But I'm thinking inside, yeah, they deserved it. Has anybody ever done that? Everybody ever done that? Thank God they got it, because they deserved it. You know, that person was sinning and happy. This whole row here, not showing up today, a nice day like today. They deserve hell. They should go to hell for not coming today, because that's, you know, it's part of our offering. Right there. Going to be short this week. I'm just thinking of the kingdom. No, God does not do that. God gives people that don't deserve anything, everything. He wants them to have everything. Those that do such things, such bad things. Now, let's read what it says. This is so cool. You can read this at home. If I can't read all these words. There's a lot of hard words here. Let's see. Romans, Corinthians. It's coming up right here. 5. All right. Stand firm in the freedom with which Christ hath made us free, and do not again be held with a yoke of slavery. In other words, never fall back. Once you get this freedom, don't ever give it up. For brothers, verse 13. You were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom for the advantage of the flesh. In other words, don't ever use freedom, now that Christ has set you free. Don't ever use your freedom to do wrong. Always use your freedom to do right. So the only purpose of freedom is to do what's right, what's good, what's true, what's just. The only purpose of freedom is to do what's right, what's good, what's fair, what's just, what's, you know, just things that are good. So whatever God, in other words, the purpose of freedom is to serve God, to worship God, and to love your neighbor, and to serve your neighbor as a slave, as his slave. The word for servant is diakonos, but the word for slave is doulos. Doulos, that's what's right here. Serve your brother with agape love. Agape love means that kind of love that's unconditional, no conditions to it. I love Peggy without condition. She can do anything she wants, say anything she wants, be as mean as a snake. I just love her. I just love her. Just want to hug her and thank you, Peggy. You love me like a snake. I love that. Don't you love that? When people do wrong, don't we deliberately marry sinful people? You did? Amen. Praise God. She's not here. Is she here? Is that... Don't anybody say what he said. Don't tell that to her.
I know. It's easy to say it now.
Okay. So we deliberately seem to marry sinners. I don't know why. Just most people just marry sinners. But remember, in the inside of the envelope, it says, dear saint. Dear saint. Wow. That's so amazing. You know what? Didn't cost anything. You just had to open it up. That's not a work. You just simply opened it up because it said, dear sinner, and that was me. I opened it up and it said, dear saint. Wow, That's cool. That was a big transition right there. Free gift. Free gift. 0.00. Woohoo! That is amazing. Now, I can drink all the beer I want now. Right? I'm free. I could use my freedom to go after my passions and my desires and my lusts. The only problem is, though I can drink all the beer, and I always do, I drink all the beer I want. I don't want any. Why? I don't need it. But I'm free to do it, but I don't want to do it. Why? I don't need it. Now, I know some of you do, but I don't. Some of you get a lot more than you need. I could say who you are, because I know who you are. One thing, when you pray for people, God tells you things. So you may not want me to be praying for you. God, could you show me all of David Halverson's sins? Pretty soon, because I want to pray for him, of course. So, how many know God is good, 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 good? There's no darkness in God. There is no bad thought in God. God has never hated anybody. Do you know, he doesn't even hate a sinner that hates him, that despises him, that deliberately goes against him. He loves that person. I desire not the death of any sinner. Isn't that amazing? So could we not be like that to others? Could we not then give the same kind of mercy to them, the same kind of help to them, the same kind of love, unconditional love to them? Yeah. So, Christ has given us freedom to love our neighbor as ourselves. The same way that God loved me, I want to love you that way. Wow, that's amazing. I'm starting with Peggy. After I'm done with her, I'll start on some of you. But it's been taking me a little longer than I was thinking. I was thinking maybe a week or something like that. It's actually taken us years. How long has it been, Peg? Yeah, that'd be a good... Yeah. When did I turn and become better? After Margaret was born? That's pretty bad. '81. Okay, Peggy's accurate. That's good. She's like the IRS. She keeps records on all that stuff. So, praise Jesus. All right. So, but I am not changing. I am fixed. I don't care what she does or says or doesn't do or whatever. I love Peggy perfectly, just the way she is. There's no condition. There's no condition. There's no condition. Isn't that amazing? Now, if I had a flesh, there would be conditions. But I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm going to walk after the Spirit. Amen? Do you all see that? Does that have any impact on this world? Absolutely. This world actually is looking for Christians. They're expecting all Christians to be mature in Christ. They're expecting all Christians to actually do what Jesus said, to have all those fruits and stuff. They're expecting all Christians, so when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They're surprised that Christians are such hypocrites. They say they believe in Jesus, but they just believe in him, and then they don't ever do anything. Nothing comes out of them. And since you don't do it, why doesn't Jesus do it then? Did you know that Jesus won't do it if you resist? Did you know that if Jesus gives you love for somebody else, but you take it all and keep it yourself, you don't give it to them? Do you know that Jesus can't go any further because he's already filled up your little bowl and you're consuming it all? Now, what Jesus wants you to do is give away that love, give away that joy, give away that peace. Just give it away to others. And when you do, he'll fill it up, and then he'll fill it up, and then he'll fill it up, and then he'll fill it up. That's why we need him every hour. That's why we need to walk continually in him. Now let's read what it says. It's good news. I might be making a little better than it is, but it's good. Only do not use the freedom to gain to the flesh, but serve one another as slaves by love. Say it. I'm a love slave. So that means, as God has loved you as a slave to set you free, so you now love others because they're enslaved to all kinds of things, but you're a slave of love for others. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Here it is. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you be not consumed by one another. How many people have you bitten this week? It says don't bite and devour one another. How many have done that? Bitten somebody? Nobody wants to say? Yes, I knew that. I knew that. Yes, I saw it. Peggy, yeah, you did. She bit me several times. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. If you're a Christian, don't be biting one another. Why? Because they'll bite you back. Different people will bite back. Unless they're a pastor. A normal person would not bite back. Dag, you don't bite back, do you? When you're bitten, do you bite back?
Sure.
Oh, you're going to hell. All right. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you are walking in the love of God, if you are walking in the joy of the Lord, if you are walking in the Spirit of the living God, you then will never fulfill your flesh. That's how you kill your flesh. If you're walking in God's love, taking, receiving, enjoying God's love, you won't then hate somebody else. Did you know that that's true? You do not. When you're so grateful to God for loving you as a sinner and turns you into a saint, you then start treating other people in the same way God has treated you. Do you know the little kids, when they're born and as they grow up, do you know that little kids look like you? They're your children. And did you know that not only that, they actually learn how you smile, and they not only look like you, but they start to act like you, and they'll say your language, whatever language you know. If you're Chinese, they'll say Chinese. I don't know how little kids learn that language. And that would take me a long time to learn all those characters and stuff. That'd be hard. But little kids, they don't even talk. And then in a little while, they just start talking in your own language. And they don't care which language it is, Czechoslovakian. They'll just talk it. I'm always amazed at little kids that can speak Czechoslovakian. I mean, it's like, whoa, that kid is smart. But I don't know that language, you know. And I'm just, that kid knows Czechoslovakian. I don't even know it. And that's amazing. Little kids will copy their parent. Did you know that when you walk and talk with God, you'll copy God? As God has loved you, you'll start loving just because you were taught that. You saw that. You copied that. You just watched it. And in a little while, that little kid has picked up all your stuff. That's a Christian. We're just like Christ. Did you know we're like Christ to everybody in this world? As he is, so are you. And then you're like that. You're the light. You're the light of this world. You're the salt of this earth. The salt. Now, there's no other. It's amazing. So you're the temple of the living God. The living God lives inside of you to do all those things. And that's just because did you know that you're changed not by changing? You're changed by looking at him that never changes. You're changed. Beholding him, we are changed. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That's amazing. Just by looking at him. Just by beholding him. All of a sudden, you become just like him. You know, one of the things I've done over the years, when I go to Africa or someplace, I always go like this. Yee-haw! And you know, pretty soon the Africans are doing that when they see me. I've done this in Russia. I've done this all over. And pretty soon people go, that's the yee-haw man. He always does that. And they love it because it's something not in their language. They don't have that in their language, that word. Yeehaw! It's kind of a Texan Jesus thing. And it's awesome. But people just love that because they can see there's a smile on their face. Like, ooh, you know. And they just pay attention to it. I'm just saying people pick up what they hear and see. Well, we pick up through this Bible everything about God. We've never seen him, but actually by reading here, we get to know, understand what he's like. It's powerful. For the flesh always lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So these two are contrary to one another. In other words, double-minded. Lest whatever you want to do, you don't do it. Because there's a war going on inside of you. Am I going to follow God or follow myself? Am I going to do what I want or what he wants? How many of you can't do two things at once like that? But those things are opposed to each other. You cannot say, I hate you and I love you at the same time. You cannot say, I worship God and I also want my own way. You can't. Because God is God and he wants all the worship. He doesn't want you to have any. We don't trust people. Trust no man, just trust the Lord. But we love everybody. Well, you have to be just like God. So he doesn't want you to have a will of your own or a word of your own or a thought of your own or a deed of your own. He doesn't want you to have anything except him. Now, the works of the flesh are clearly revealed. These words are interesting in the King James, but if I read them, you see if one of these applies to you. These are the works of the flesh. These are bad. These are very bad. Which are adultery. That's bad. Fornication. Very bad. Uncleanness, lustful, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, fightings, jealousies, angers, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, wild parties. That's bad. And things like these. Now, the list was longer, so I filled it out up here. If you want to see any of those things, don't ever do those things. Why? Because you will never, anyone who practices those things continually, if you do it once in a while, it's okay. How many of you are allowed one sin a day? One sin is okay. How many are on the one-a-day plan? So you're allowed that. But if you do it continually, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. How y'all doing? Are you doing it continually or just now and again? How many do it just once a month maybe? Once a week? Once a year? How many are up to once every 10 years, you know, that's a pastor. That's how David and I got into the pastor thing. You can sin, but you don't do it too often or else. So what the Bible is saying here is if you continually walk or practice those things, the Greek isn't just do it, it's do it continually. Okay, and it uses the word proso, which is like praxis or practicing it. You continually are habitual. You are a habitual sinner in that area. Does anybody here have a habitual sin that keeps coming up almost nonstop? Nobody wants to own up to that? Okay. Well, does anyone here have an anger problem? You're addicted to it? In other words, when people do something wrong around you, it makes you angry. Does anybody have that? You do? Okay, you do. You're going to hell. So there it says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Okay. Lord, I want you to cure her and that other girl behind her of all the sins that they're doing so that they never will be counted. Set them free today and don't let them fall back into a spirit of bondage. Amen. Now, here's a way to overcome that. Pray for your enemy. Pray for those that hurt you, despise, use you, abuse you. Did you know if you start praying for people, it changes your whole attitude? And I don't mean pray, get them. I mean pray, Lord, bless them. Let them have a wonderful day. No, I'm telling you, this really works. It'll change your whole attitude toward them when you start praying for them. The next time you see them, you kind of think, hey, I must be praying for them. And then you'll find you'll be looking for something good, and you go, yeah, there it is, right there. And so actually praying for people changes you. I don't know if it changes them. It changes you for sure. That's what God wants you to do. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all. You already know all those. Against such, those nine, there's no law. But the ones belonging to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, if you start taking from God all of his gifts, you will pretty soon be giving out all those gifts. Because he'll give you so much, you have to give it away. You have to give it away. And the more you look at God, you're going to become just like him. You're going to be like him. Kedumetnu. You'll be like God. And that's when he's coming back for, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So our church has been called to be in the front, to go forward. And let's see how many we have here. Who are already there? Okay, how many wish you would be there? How many are wanting to be there? You're trying to be there. That's your problem right there. Don't worry about it. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's something that when you hear how good God is, you'll actually just do it without even trying. You'll do it without trying. You'll do it without trying. So the more you learn the love of God, you will never hate people again. Because we're not perfect. We are not perfect. We are not perfect. How many know here? There's nobody here that's perfect. Nobody. And God loves you before you ask, before you did anything. He loved you unconditionally. And now that he has forgiven you, he wants to take away that love of sinning. He wants to take it away. He doesn't want you to take it away. Doesn't want you to say anything more than, yeah, I did it. God, take care of it. Just you deliver me. You deliver me from me. Not the IRS, but deliver me from me. How many know you're the problem? You. You're the tree that produced that fruit. So he forgave the fruit, but now he wants to chop down the tree and give you a whole new tree. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once Christ becomes your gardener, he cuts off all the dead branches and whatever, and he begins to prune you until there's nothing left but Jesus. How many have nothing in your life but Jesus? Nothing. I mean, there's nobody, you don't want anything but Jesus. You just want Jesus. That is so powerful. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful life. Having lived selfishly, when you learn that if you lose your life to Jesus, you actually find it for the first time. You realize, you know what? I was made just to worship God and serve my neighbor. Against such, there's no law. There's no law that says you can't do that. There's nothing, not even you, can keep that from happening. When God gives you a gift, he makes sure it's perfected. He didn't just give you the gift. He gave it to you because he knew, if I give it to you, I swear, I promise, I'll fulfill it. I'll finish it. I'll get it done perfectly. How many know that's a good way to enter into any relationship, is with God making the promise, God keeping the promise. When people get married, and I know you guys are married now, right? Is it working? Because you're kind of smiling. So, yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good. Why? Because you knew he wasn't perfect. Was I right on that? Yeah. And you knew she wasn't perfect. See? So it's perfect. What's perfect is God is your whole happiness is in God, not in how people perform, not in how you perform or she performs, he or he. So God guarantees this thing to say, this is my marriage. This is my will. I put you together to help each other see all the sins that you hid. Did you find a few in him? Yeah, I knew that. I just knew that. Marty, did you find a few in her? Not so many, just a few. Not as many? You had a few more? Yeah. Yeah, man. Do you agree with that? He had more than you did? Pretty much equal. Oh, that's deserve each other. Yeah, it's good. How many know God knows what he's doing? God knows exactly what he's doing. He is a good, loving father. Everything about God is love. Did you know the whole law is fulfilled in one word? Love. Love. Unconditional love. When we love unconditionally, it doesn't get you to heaven. It just gets other people to heaven. When you love and you have joy and you have peace and you have patience and you have kindness and you have blah, blah, when you have all those things, people know that's not you, that's God. They don't have that. And when they see it, they go, that's heaven. That's not normal. Because their flesh has never seen that before. It kills their flesh. Love destroys flesh. Joy destroys flesh. Peace. There's no way that those things can exist. There's no law. It just removes all the worry and the care and the fear and the doubt. He not only forgives all your sins, he takes away the power of all your sins. And after a while, you don't even want to sin anymore. You're not wanting to walk in the flesh. You want to walk in the Spirit. So those who walk in their passions, there might be somebody here, or desires, you're not condemned for that. It's just that his desire for you is to give you his love, his joy, and so on, so that you won't walk in those things, that you walk in love. That's a church. That's Christianity. That's why we're the only religion that's true. We're not true because we're better. We're true because our God is better. Our God is better. The other gods demand of them to behave. Ours is the only God that doesn't want you to behave. He wants to behave. He wants to do everything. He's a good parent. He's a good parent. He's a good parent. He doesn't want the child to do a thing. He wants the child just to enjoy himself, play all day long. How many know we have a good God? This news has not gotten out. It's been kept in the church. When you go out today, share it with somebody. Just give that for free to somebody that doesn't deserve it. So, did anybody get anything? You did, Kim Cherie? Good. Anybody else? You did, Debbie? Praise God. Anyone else? Obo? Praise God. You get something every week. You must have a lot of, you need a lot of help, a lot of good news. Norman, you got something? Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? You did, Betsy? It's sweet. That is sweet. I like it. I like it when people take the good news and enjoy it. It's powerful. Anybody in your row get anything? You did, Marty? That's good. That's good. He needed it. I mean, of all the people. I'm so glad you come. You don't come very often, but when you do come, I like to have a good message. A lot of my messages aren't that good, but this one was good. Now, who's this on the end?
David.
It's awesome. Powerful. Did you get something out of it? Amen. Did you see her sins? God is good. I love you all. God is so good. Heaven on earth. That's us. How do you get the Father's house? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness. That's how you get there. Why? That's what he's looking for. All right.